Svein was a baby when he came to the valley with the settlers. They'd been so long in the mountains, the sun and snow had burned their faces black. When they came down at last among the sweet green forests, they stopped to rest in a quiet glade. Baby Svein sat in the grass and looked about him. What did he see? Sky, trees, his parents sleeping, also a great black serpent winding from behind a log, fangs drawn back to strike his mother's throat. What did he do? He reached out his chubby hands and caught the snake by its tail. When his parents woke, they saw Svein grinning at them, a throttled serpent hanging like rope between his fists. Svein's father said, "This portends clear enough. Our son shall be a hero. When he's old enough, he shall have my sword and silver belt, and with them he shall never lose a battle." Svein's mother said, "The valley will belong to him. Let's build our farm here. It's a place of luck for us." So it was. Other settlers spread about the valley. But our house, first and greatest, was built right here. Harli Sveinsson was born shortly after noon, one midwinter's day, when snow clouds hung low over Svein's house and the skirts of the hills could not be seen. In the very hour of his birth, the drifts piled so high against the old Trow walls that a portion of them collapsed. Some people said this was a portent of great good in the boy, others of great evil. The man whose pigs the wall had crushed had no opinion either way, but wanted recompense from the child's parents. He sought arbitration on the matter at the gathering the following year, but the case was thrown out as unproven. When Harli was older, Kartla, his nurse, drew his attention to the date of his arrival in the world. She clucked and whistled through her nose at the sinister implications. "It is a dangerous day, Midwinter," she said, as she tucked him tight into his cot. "Brats born then have an affinity with dark and secret things, with witchcraft and the promptings of the moon. You must be careful not to listen to this side of your nature, else it will lead without fail to your death and the destruction of your loved ones. Aside from that, dear Harli, there is nothing to worry about. Sleep well." Despite the raging snowstorm, Harley's father took the blood and bits from the midwife as soon as the cord was cut and set out up the hill. After a climb that left him frostbitten in three fingers, he got to the cairns and threw the gift beyond the stones for the trolls to feed on. It was considered that they must have liked what they ate, because from the first, the baby drank lustily at the breast. He grew fat and thrived, and the black creep did not touch him all that winter. He was the first of Astrid's children to live since Gudni's birth 3 years before, and this was a matter for great rejoicing among the people of the house. In the spring, Harli's parents held a feast to celebrate the latest in Svein's line. The cradle was set out upon the dais in the hall, and the people shuffled past to pay their respects. Uncle and Astrid sat together in the law seats and accepted the birth gifts, the offerings of skins, cloth, carved toys, and pickled vegetables, while little Gudni stood stiff and silent at her mother's side, her blonde hair immaculately braided into a dragon's tail. Harli's older brother, Leif, heir to the house and all its lands, ignored the proceedings. He played with the dogs under the table, fighting with them for scraps. Cradleside comment was loudly complimentary, but at the corners of the hall, where Eyjolf and the servants had stacked the ale kegs and the lantern smoke coiled thickly, opinions were less sure.
"The baby is a peculiar-looking creature."
"There is nothing of his mother in him."
"More to the point, nothing of his father. I see more of his uncle there.
A trow is more likely. Astrid cannot abide Broder. That's no secret.
Well, the boy has life in him all the same. Listen to him cry.